It's a great blessing. And God is good. Amen? Can you say that? Everybody needs to say all the time that God is good. Hallelujah. These are just some of the things that come across your path and when you're living in this world. The Lord says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Thank God we know, those of us in Christ Jesus, we know the end of the judgment is positive for us. Amen?
Glory.
We're going to go be in the presence of the Lord. As the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? How exciting is that? I mean, just meditate on that for a while. I mean, when this body looks like it's just really fixing to just quit, to be absent from the body. If for any reason you needed to bail out of this body, you're going to be with the Lord. I mean, just boom, like that. You know, some people see, you know, you go to sleep and then you wake up when Jesus comes. I see the scripture when Lazarus and the rich man died, they both went someplace to a conscious place. And Lazarus was with Lazarus, the poor man, the beggar, not Lazarus, Martha, and them. But Lazarus, the beggar, sitting under the rich man's table, he died and went into the bosom of Abraham. And a rich man was across the chasm in a flame. First of all, it tells me you need to make sure that you have a relationship with God. Second of all, it tells me it's that you're in a place of comfort. The scripture tells us right there is that he's in a place of comfort in the bosom of Abraham with those who are believers. Amen? So Lazarus was there comforted. From the moment he left this world, he was comforted. And so God is doing a good thing. It's a blessing. Amen? And we're in a position in this world, this is very temporary. I mean, people, you know, young people, as well as old people, die all the time from various reasons. But you walk out the door, you never know if you're going to get home. You just don't know. You hear it on the news. So-and-so driving down the road and drunk coming the other way, and that was the end of it. And that other person was just, you know, that wasn't God's judgment on the innocent party. It's just you live in a world that's flawed. But God knows every step you take. Job said it in 23:10. He says, "For he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold." And that's right in the middle of the biggest test that Job had. It wasn't kind of at the tail end of it. It's right in chapter 23. I mean, right in the middle of the book. And he says, "For he knows the way that I take." That's his testimony to his friends. God knows the way that I'm going. And when this is all done, I'm going to come forth as gold. Do you have hope like that?
Amen.
I got hope like that. I do. Amen. I hope you do. I hope you have hope like that. And my dad, this past March, he was in the hospital. Hospital will make you think about stuff, I guess, when you go in there. Tommy's there. You're nodding your head. He was in there, and they mentioned, they started talking about cancer of some sort, and it never did appear anyway. But it got him busy thinking. And I said, "Dad, have you, he's raised Lutheran, like me, you know. I know what he knows. There's no secret. They've been teaching the same thing for hundreds of years. So I know what he knows, you know," and I kind of quizzed him. I said, "What do you know about Jesus?" I said, "What do you know about..." I had a captive audience. So, "What do you know about Jesus?" "Well, you know, died for my sins, this and that." And so I said, "I want you to be in heaven with us. And I want you to know that you're confident that Jesus forgave all your sins and died for your salvation so that you can be with us in eternity." And he said, I asked him if I could pray with him right then. He said, "Yes." And then this is back in March, and then he followed through and prayed. I didn't just pray for him, he prayed after me. So we were grateful and thankful for that. So we had been estranged for many years, and the Lord brought us back together. When God started urging Pastor Jim back in about 92, some of you may remember, some of you were teenagers, I guess all you guys with kids were teenagers back then, and about restoration and about forgiveness and about restoring family relationships that had been broken. And, you know, I didn't have any animosity with my dad. And I knew the difficulties that they had had. It had to do with alcohol, and my mother and father were divorced when I was 11. And so, but it really became important to me to go and make that relationship right, to restore that relationship, which had been, you know, just not there for many years. And so I went out and visited with him out in Florida, and we just began to have a relationship over the next few years. Ultimately ended up in he had another wife at that time, and she had a wonderful lady, and visited with them often, and she had passed away in 2011. He had lost his sight due to glaucoma and macular degeneration back about 8 or 10 years ago. And she was a good support. She was his wonderful support, as well as a neighbor behind him. And when Emily passed and then Frank moved up to Virginia, that was it. All the props were gone. And we had talked about, you know, okay, well, what happens when, you know, we need to do something? What happens when you no longer have the support that you need? I mean, you can't see. You know, you can't, you know, do everything for yourself, can't drive, can't get around. And so we determined that it was the best option was for him to move here. And what he did was sold his house and built onto the back of our house. And that was back in 2012. And so he built on an apartment on the back of our house, nice place. Had a separate air system. I don't know. Did I not say he was a smoker? He didn't stink. He didn't stink. He was just a smoker. And if he wasn't in the hospital this morning, he'd still be a smoking. And so, up to the very end, glory to God. Old habits die hard. It's like we went on Monday. We went over to have Mexican food. That's another habit. That's a bad habit, people. It's a wonderful bad habit. Yeah. And then they went up to, the next day he had an appointment on Tuesday at the VA to, just for his medication, just like a biannual thing, you know. The doctor took one look at him and said, "You need to go to the hospital." He said, "Are you?" Yeah, well, he ultimately acceded to it because he felt bad. And he's over time. He's 85. Turned 85 on the 3rd. Fell on something 7 o'clock Sunday morning last 2 weeks ago. Got a big old knot on his head.
Oh,
that's
very big bruise.
Well, that kind of took a day or so to get going. We went to. We're going to talk about the Bible and the Christmas message here in just a minute. I'm just going to carry on here. The home health nurse came by and said, "You should go to the hospital." "No, I'm not going to go." So he we went out to a steak dinner on Sunday, his birthday Sunday night, with a big old knot on his head. Of course, you know, I didn't know if anybody was going to wonder what I was doing to him, you know, beating up on him on his birthday or something. So, I mean, the guy loved, he really loved living. He loves living. He really does. And he coded twice in the hospital last night, and yesterday afternoon and this morning, because he did not, he want, they wanted him to sign that DNR thing, you know, do not resuscitate. No. You're going to keep me, do everything you can to keep me here. And they did. They did twice. And I said, "Okay, I've fulfilled my obligation. I'm not going to make the rest of the family suffer." So now it's up to Jesus. If Jesus wants to keep him here, he can. But we're not going to help him anymore. So, But God is good. He's made it to 85. That's a long, long life. Amen?
Yes.
Not as long as some people want, but, you know.
That's
yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my sister lives here in town, too. In fact, we all grew up Lutheran here in town, and Donna and I were at, you know, we were at the church Jim pastored, you know. He came to our church. You know, we were already there. Just if you want to know who was there first, we were. It's kind of an interloper. It's kind of a young pup. His first real job is what I tell him, you know. And so he came down to pastor in 1969. And but God is good. My dad's in the hospital.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you were going to tell about my sister. I just got off on something else.
No, that there was no relationship until he moved
here. What she said. And so they are, Donna's over at the hospital, her husband now. And with my mother and her husband. How's that for low drama? That's pretty good. Yeah. So, God's good. Yeah, there's reconciliation going on everywhere. God's a God of reconciliation, amen? Amen. If you don't have a reconciliation going on with somebody that you're, I would recommend it.
We have the ministry.
Amen? You have the ministry of reconciliation, not only from God to that individual, but for yourself.
Amen.
Amen. To your brothers, to your sisters, to your, even if they're weird. Even if they're weird, even if they're crazy. Amen? Because love covers a multitude of sins.
Hallelujah.
Just love. See, because you're powerful. You're filled with the love of Jesus. Well, I could love everybody but that family person. Amen? Isn't that it kind of how that works, you know? People love everybody but the person that's hurt them. Well, Jesus was hurt a lot. But Jesus loves and you love. Well, I can't. No, that's not true. That's a lie. That's a lie that you're believing. If you believe that you can't love that person who wronged you, that's a lie that you're believing. You need to repent of it.
That's right.
Say, no, that's not true. That's not from God. I thank God for the relationship that we had. I mean, my dad had a relationship with me, and he moved in with me and my family. And my kids. Don't look, Esther. And Esther.
Thank you,
I mean, she's been a crazy, incredible caregiver for Grandpa. And what a blessing.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
God's doing good things, isn't he?
And
Janet's mom, she's never had a sick day in her life, just about, except for when she almost died back when Janet was 15, 14, yeah. But they figured that one out, and she's okay. Stay off of gluten. Yeah, she started that back in 70, whatever.
Yeah,
the gluten-free, Thelma.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I hope you're blessed by all that. Amen. Or they're not discouraged or disappointed or fearful or unhappy. Amen. Thanks for letting me share. God is good. He's doing great things. When he restores your, Malachi says he's going to restore the relationship between the fathers and the children. Well, he's done that for me. He's done that for me. And he'll do it for you. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for the relationship that Greg has with his children. That Greg Antoine had with his children. What a powerful testimony that is. Thank God for that. Amen. And Greg's up there just chatting with Jesus about his kids and about his wife. Just how blessed life is. Amen. It's good to be in the presence of Jesus. And I'm glad my dad's going to be in the presence of Jesus. I reminded him today, by the way, this morning. Now, you remember where you're going. You remember you're going to heaven. You remember going to be with Jesus. I don't know if spending eternity with Jesus is good. Spending eternity with me, I don't know. Maybe he won't be quite as close as he is now, living in the back of my house. Maybe he'll get his own house. Look over at Luke chapter 1. You knew that. Luke chapter 1. The only reason we can do this is because Jesus is alive. Amen? He's not dead. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. He's alive, and he's actually alive in me. He's enjoying living in me, in my heart. Not because I'm wonderful. It's just because he loves me. Are you loved by Jesus? Say yes. Does he have any disappointment in you at all? Say no. Say it real fast so you don't have time to think. Yeah. Somebody might think, well, he's kind of disappointed in me. No. Because he paid for all of it. He knows he paid for everything. All of your sin is totally gone. Amen? Everything. Everything. I mean, he just loves you, and he has come and taken all of your sin and washed it white as snow. Good thing. That's why we have, whether it's right or not, maybe we have Christmas in the winter hoping for snow. And it kind of reminds you that there's no sin. Your sin is white as snow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. This is after John the Baptist has been foretold and his birth is progressing with Elizabeth and Zacharias. And Zacharias, of course, is not talking these days because the angel says, how are these things going to be? I mean, he walked in the door. The angel walked in and said, hey, your prayer is answered. Well, he forgot about his prayer. It'd been so long he forgot. You're going to have a son. You're kidding. No way. Well, just so you'll know, I'll just make you where you can't talk and mess it up. So you can't mess it up for the whole 9 months. We're just going to keep you quiet. So in verse 26, and in the sixth month, that's Elizabeth's sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth. I wonder if he needed a GPS to get there. It was pretty small. Nazareth was pretty small. It's kind of like Burleson used to be. We used to talk about Burleson like it was like a speck on the map. Now it's like a metropolis. And I'd be more like Alvoid or something like that. Do you know you pronounce that right? Alvoid? Not Alvord. Alvoid. So it came to pass as I'm going to read the verse I was reading. So the angel Gabriel was sent to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused or betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Bitter. What a wonderful name from the mother of Jesus. The mother's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, Hail, you that are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. What? And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Well, and cast in her mind what type of greeting this could be. Well, it seems to me it's pretty clear. Let's read the verse before again. And what did the angel say? What did he say? He said, Hail, you that are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. That seems like a pretty clear greeting to me. What kind of a greeting is that? That's a blessing. That's a greeting that says, God is on your side and He loves you and He's for you. Amen? Most people didn't know that really daily. But to have Gabriel the angel come and tell you that you are highly favored, God is blessed, you are blessed and you are favored among women. I mean, that's a pretty good indication of what's coming next. Amen? I mean, when the guy shows up at your door with a big check, this big, ringing your doorbell and says, you know, hey, you have just won the Publisher's Clearinghouse. You kind of got a good idea what that is. It's probably good news. Right? Most people, there's a lot of people who just cannot wrap their mind around it. I mean, as much good news as you can give them. You can tell people about the wonderful news of Jesus and the wonderful news that their sins are forgiven, and what, and they just, it just cannot just figure that out. They're just determined to figure some way to get away from God's blessing. Amen?
Yep.
Can you figure that out? Has that been you? Have you tried to figure out some way to get away from God's blessing because you thought there was a hook attached to it? Amen? People think there's some kind of a, what's the catch?
Yep.
It's like the call on the phone, you know, we're going to give you free travel. Yeah, what do I got to do? That's what people think, you know. So that's how the gospel's been preached. It is a catch. There is a hook. You got to straighten up. You got to fly right. You got to do things. You got to behave. You got to do things. Well, Mary's wondering, okay, what's the catch? That's why you wonder what kind of a greeting this is. She's been there before. She was raised with Jewish people. You know, what is this? What are you trying to sell me? Amen? So, hail, you that are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. So she cast in her mind, she was thinking about what kind of greeting could this be? And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary. First thing, fear not. So whatever you're thinking that this might be, It is what it appears to be. It's a blessing. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to bring the blessing of God to you. And he said to her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. Each one of you has found favor with God. Say it, I found favor with God. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Dolores hates it when I say that. Well, you used to. When I used to make, wasn't it you who couldn't stand it when I had people say something? Don't like it when people make me say something, especially in church. I might not agree with it, or I might not like that way. All right, wasn't you, forgive me then. She loves me anyway. Praise the Lord. Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. I found favor with God. Yee-hee. Praise the Lord. I found favor with God. God's not mad at me. Amen. He's not unhappy with me at all. He's not unhappy with Bill. Praise the Lord. He's not unhappy with Joyce. He's certainly not unhappy with Norman. God knows why. You know. Praise the Lord. He's not unhappy with Esther. Praise the Lord. I mean, if you got that down, it'd be all very helpful, wouldn't it? If you understood that God was not mad at you and didn't require anything of you. He just said, just accept my promise. Amen? Isn't that right? And behold, he says to her, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. You think she took all of that in at one gulp? I think she probably got stalled on verse 31. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. We find that out in verse 34. I don't know if she heard the rest of the prophecy because in verse 34 she stopped and said to the angel, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? I don't have a husband. How is this going to happen? You're going to have a child, conceive in your womb a child, and bring forth a son. I don't think so. I think you got one hitch in your plan, Gabriel. But he answers her. I want to just go back to verse 32 and 33. What do they say about Jesus? He shall be great. This is the Son that you're going to bear. He shall be great. Shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's the promise to Mary, but that's the promise to us. Amen? This is the salvation promised. This is Abraham's seed. This is the salvation. This is the seed of the woman that was going to destroy the head of the serpent from Genesis chapter 3, 15. Amen? This is him. He's finally showing up. All that law business and all that goings on, creating the Jewish people and bringing it along. And it's because in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin, the Scripture says. Amen? In the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin. It began Genesis chapter 3. Abraham then had a son. Who had a son? Two sons. Who had 12 sons. And then Jesus, then Abraham, then Moses was raised up to bring forth a people. To bring forth the people, to give a law, to demonstrate that there was a need that man could not meet. There's a need that you cannot do. And God saw to it that the seed was protected by that law and by that nation until the fullness of time. Then you'll notice when Jesus died, God was in the temple. He actually went into the temple and all those sacrifices and all those goings on for ritual, the killing of animals and the blood shed, God came in. And you know, the blood was shed behind the curtain, right? It was shed behind the curtain by the high priest every year, that he would go in and take the blood of the sacrifice and throw it on the Ark of the Covenant behind that curtain. And God went in there when Jesus breathed his last breath and said, "It is finished." God went into the temple and tore that veil from the top to the bottom. All of that was over because now you and I can walk in directly into the presence of God through faith in his love, through faith in the blood of Jesus. Amen? So God brought this along. God brought this along through the Jewish people, through Israel, through the law, demonstrating that you and I had no hope of salvation apart from a miracle of God. Hebrews, Paul says that the blood of goats and bulls could not atone for sin. Only the blood of the Lamb of God. Now look here, verse 35, and the angel will answer Mary's question. And the angel said and answered her, "The Holy Ghost." She said, "How shall this be, knowing that I know not a man, seeing that I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." And by the way, he says, "Behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." I'm ready. "Be it unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. That's all he needed to hear. Amen? That's all he needed to hear. "Be it unto me according to your word." Mary had a visitation. Mary had a visitation from the Lord. Thank God for that visitation. Thank God she said, okay. Thank God she said, amen. Be it unto me according to your word. Can you? Will you say that? Whatever it might be. You know, God's got a plan. Amen. I mean, the reason you're sitting here is because he requires or has something for you to do. Amen. I mean, otherwise, you go home. I mean, when you're done, just go home. I mean, why stick around? Why hang around? Well, the Star Wars movie's coming out. I think I'll hang around for that. I think I'll hang around for this and that. No. I mean, you know, you have an opportunity to go home, be with Jesus. You know, who wants to go home and who wants to go be with Jesus? No hands go up. Because they tell you, well, I thought you were getting together a group to go now. No, you want to go. You want to go when God's done. But in the meantime, He's got lots for you to do. Amen. Just want you to worship Him. Thank Him. That's powerful. Just to worship Him. Just to walk in His presence. Like Larry was talking about that earlier. It's not just a one-time check your ticket. This life is all about walking with God. Walking with the love of God. Growing. Amen? This is chair 4, 5, and 6. Growing. Walking with Him every day. You know, all the things that may happen to you, just learning to rejoice because you're a testimony. My kids are an extreme testimony. Certainly my oldest son and his wife, with their two little girls who have had a challenge with the SMA, the two girls not being able to walk. I mean, but God, they are thankful. They are joyful. They are rejoicing while they're doing everything that's needed to care for those girls. And the people who are with them is like when Peter and John? Or Paul and Silas? In the jail. Paul and Silas in the jail. Paul and Silas. You got to sing the song. See, yeah. Songs are good.
That's right.
Songs are good. They remind you. So Paul and Silas in the jail. They knew God would not fail. Then along about midnight, God delivered them by His great might. What's the rest of it, Paul? God delivered them by His great might when He heard His servant cry. Amen? So they're a blessing to their church. Their joy, their testimony, their thanksgiving. And I believe that's changing their church. I believe it's changing their church. To see somebody in a circumstance that's difficult and to see them rejoice and not complain and not be bitter. Oh, by the way, did I tell you they're having another baby? No evidence of the disease. I already checked it. Praise the little boy. A boy named Judah. They were not planning for another kid. They just weren't planning for one. We got enough to do now. Amen. So Judah is coming April 11th, and there is no, he's not going to have the SMA. So he'll be a bag toter. They're glad to have a little boy, like a little farm boy, you know, somebody who's going to carry all the stuff, all the equipment. That's right. Amen. No, it's exciting. Every day is exciting because you never know what you're going to run into. You know? You never know what you're going to run into, Esther. But if you learn how to rejoice every day, all you guys, you know, learn how to rejoice. Patrick, learn how to rejoice. Amen? I mean, you know, everything's going your way even though it doesn't seem like it's going your way. I mean, Mary, after this, you know, of course, obviously, she probably thought about this and thought, well, you know what? There could be some talking going on if this happens. How did that happen? I mean, didn't God know that, you know, there would be talk? Are you worried about talk? People might talk about you. If God gives you a vision, or God makes a promise, or God gets you in a circumstance that might glorify Him, but kind of cause you a little bit of trouble. Why don't you rejoice today? Amen? Amen. Christmas time, people get all stressed out. People get all worried about things. I want you to do one thing. If worry tries to come into your head, I want you to rejoice and quit working so hard. Amen? I know Janet does. Janet just gets all just wound up about, you know, Christmas. Saw some Facebook post today. Said, stop. If you don't get everything decorated, it's okay. Just relax. Amen? I mean, we've made this thing into so much stress, and you don't need it. I don't need it. Amen? My dad had no stress. What's that? Amen. I learned this long ago. I learned this from Pastor Jim. Yeah, he doesn't do any shopping.
I don't even know Christmas.
They don't know. Well, Esther took me out last night shopping, you know. So if I'd fill her car up with gas, you know. And
you gotta just click a button on the computer.
So, hey, so Christmas solved. Just fill up everybody's car with gas. Yeah, that's great. Just put a bow on it or something. Put a bow on the gas tank. There it is.
David, the UPS guy does all the work.
Oh, the UPS guy does all the work.
Yeah,
that's right.
Guy.
Yeah, exactly. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good to rejoice. It's good to have rejoicing and know that God's purpose for you is being done. Amen? All right. Does anybody have a purpose in God? Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? Huh? Do you know what it is? Okay, nodding your head. Good. Dude, put that hand down. Just nod your head. Amen. So Mary said, verse 38, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it to me according to thy will. Do it. That means just do it. Go, do it. I'm in. Are you in? Be it unto me according to thy word. I'm in. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Amen? Janet and I got married. We were talking this morning about, you know, about all the things that happen, you know, in life. Anybody been married more than 5 years? Yeah. Well, stuff happens, you know. Anybody been married more than 30 years? Amen. Praise the Lord. Jim, you've been married for 54 years. He asked me that the other day. I think he had to know it for something. I just like to remind him. And so we were talking about, you know, we had one of those faith marriages, faith-based, you know. The guy didn't use our book. The guy said, we'll just... all the prosperity, all the blessing, all the healing, all the so God's going to be with you through it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be positive. Amen. But you know, when you're 20 years old, maybe you need to hear about for better or for worse. You know, some people, Janet had it last night. Have you figured this out? It's like marriage these days is more like junior high kids breaking up. Huh? What?
Boyfriends
and girlfriends. You know, they break up. You know, it's like, you know, so marriages kind of became like that. It just, well, it ain't working out. We're just going to go and find Sally instead of Susie. Yes. Hey, right?
My nephew had a form letter.
A form letter. Very, that's handy. Your nephew had a form letter.
Just filled in.
Was this for getting dumped or dumping? Oh, dumping. Okay, must have been one of the handsome fellows. All right. But no, he said, through everything. And what I'm talking about is through everything, God is with you. For better, for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer. You're sticking with her. Huh? Amen. And if you didn't go with the first one, go with the one you're with. Go with the one you're with right now. Just stop now. You know, stop now. Just stay. Just with the merry-go-round. Just stay with the one you're with. And just God's going to bless that. Amen? For better or for worse. He'll bless it for better or for worse, and richer for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death. And that's you walking with Jesus. For richer, for poorer, for better, for worse. Just rejoicing. Amen? I don't know if you're getting blessed. I am. I'm the guy with the microphone, so I guess I'll just keep talking. No, we'll be done in a minute. Because y'all are hungry. And Mary arose, verse 39. So be it unto me according to your will. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. And she went and visited Elizabeth. And the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. She said, when you came in, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And what is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And so she confirmed the prophecy of the angel, did she not? So Elizabeth confirmed the prophecy of Gabriel to Mary as she walked in. I mean, it's like, did I just dream that or what? And then she goes to visit Elizabeth based on the angel's testimony, said Elizabeth's going to have a baby. Well, she knew she was going to have a baby. I'm sure the word got out on Facebook. And so she went down there, and Elizabeth immediately said, the baby leaped in my womb when you walked in the door, because you're the mother of my Lord. She confirmed everything. God will confirm what He's called you to. God will confirm that. Amen? God will confirm it to you. Just stay in prayer. Just stay worshiping and thanking God. And He's going to demonstrate what He called you for, that He will perform. And everybody's got one. Amen? Everybody's got one. You got a birth certificate, you got a purpose in God. Jim's got three. Four? Three. Three, yeah. He's got three birth certificates. How do you do that? He's going to write a book one day about the whole thing. I don't know if that was prophetic or not. And blessed is she that believed. Listen to that, verse 45. Blessed is she that believed. And there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed are you who have believed. When God spoke to you, blessed are you if you believe what He said. I said, okay, what kind of Christmas message are we going to do today? And I saw this. He said, Mary believed. What God told her, she believed. That's true of any one of us. He said, whatever God told you, believe. And blessed is he that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her, him, from the Lord. And Mary said, this is the amazing part, because I'm sure she was no scholar. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from hereafter all generations shall call me blessed, for He that is mighty has done to me great things. And holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. Oh, she just kind of goes off onto, this is prophetic. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled them, the hungry, with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. And He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Are you prepared for God's plan? God's direction? Amen. Verse 45 again. Luke 1, verse 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Could be her. Could be him. And you guys, in your case. Amen? For with God nothing shall be impossible. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your will. Hallelujah. Father, we just worship you and thank you for your message today. Thank you for the word today which is able to save our souls. We're being transformed and changed daily by your word and by your fellowship. Father, we thank you that we cast off every doubt and every burden. Father, we thank you for the mercy of God which causes us to rejoice and the grace of God which causes us to give thanks in every circumstance and every situation. Father, if there is any time that we feel the need to despair, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus we repent of it, and we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to take that from us and give us joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So, Father, we worship you and we glorify you and give you thanks. We thank you for this time when we celebrate the entrance of the King of Kings into the earth to be raised, live a holy life, to be crucified for us and raised again and ascend into heaven. And as we have believed on him, he will receive us to himself. And we give you the glory and the praise for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.